sometimes you just have to stick with something you think you don't like anymore. Mm-hmm. And then other times you have to morph it into something you do like.
You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur Strategies for Success podcast. Womenpreneur podcast is for you, my bold and fearless entrepreneur, to take that next step in your life. Maybe you're hesitant to start your first business, or maybe you already have and you're looking to get more clients. Or maybe you already have a six-figure business and you want to elevate it to the next level. I have all the goods for you, my dear friends, and all I need from you is to do just one thing, and that one thing is consistent, massive action. All right. So today I am super, super excited to introduce to you Monica Lee. Monica is the founder and host of Smart Women Creative, a podcast designed to help women learn, grow, and get inspired. Smart Creative Women highlights creative entrepreneurs and business owners within a variety of creative industries. Monica is passionate about creatives and believes that each of us can develop a unique personal design aesthetic. She launched a leather clutch and t-shirt line, XO Monica Lee, as an outlet of her own creative expressions and style. I had so much fun with Monica in this conversation. She is just such a genuine and such a fun lady. And I tell you, this conversation was literally as if I was sitting at a coffee shop with a friend and we were having a conversation. Really, you're going to enjoy this one. So go get your coffee or maybe green tea while you're listening to this podcast at home and really get ready to have some fun.
Hi, Monica. How are you?
I'm great. I'm very good. Thanks.
Thank you so much. It is wonderful to have another podcaster online with me today. And you are just so great and you're so creative. And I'm just really honored and inspired by you.
Yes, Ken, as we can talk about how the artists learn about mics and technology and video and MP3s and MP4s. How did I learn all that?
Exactly. And I mean, seriously, I think, you know, we were talking briefly earlier and I just stumbled upon you and your website and man, you're very creative.
Oh, thank you. I've been on the planet a long time. So,
but how did you kind of get into it? So let's dial it back a little bit and tell me, what was your first ever job?
Scooping ice cream. Thank you very much. I have always worked ever since I was young, but I scooped ice cream and worked in retail, waited tables. And then, you know, I studied art in school, but I actually planned parties for my campus. That's how I scholarship my way through college. I was vice president of student activities. In fact, my son's looking at college just now. And I told him, I said, you know, back in the day, and this is a long time ago, I had a $66,000 budget, 10 chairmen underneath me and a full-time secretary. And I was taking a full course load and working on the weekends.
Wow. Now,
yeah, his mouth kind of dropped. I was like, that's right. Get a job, kid.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So you've been hustling for a long time.
I was. And then, you know, it was kind of interesting because after I did hustle a lot in college to pay for school, I was actually burnt out. And this is kind of, I realized a thing in my personality is I hustle, throw myself into everything. And then I'm like, whoa, that's exhausting. And so I had a art girlfriend that started flying for Pan Am and she's like, come move to New York City. And I was like, I can't move to New York City and not be able to get home. I was still relatively a small town girl. And so I became a flight attendant. And I was like, well, I'll go to New York City, the Big Apple, mm-hmm. back when the Big Apple wasn't safe at all. Not that it is now, but it was a lot worse. If I can fly home. And so I became a flight attendant.
Nice. Was that fun?
No, okay. No, it was fun. It was fun. And I was thinking my one regret on that is that I wasn't international my entire career. So there were aspects of it. I certainly saw the world and I broadened my horizon. So I would never regret the choices that I made. And I always did art on the side. I always was creating something in the meantime. Uh-huh. So I even had a greeting card company while I was flying. So I had always had two careers kind of going while I was doing that.
I love that. I love that. So, you know, what made you decide? Was it the podcast that came first or was it the coaching business?
Oh, you know, the podcast came first. It was doing art. I was a full-time freelance illustration. I had actually taken an early retirement with the flying. I got out and started freelancing full-time my art and then was working with in art licensing. And I just needed to, it was 24/7 working weekends and stuff. And I just said, I need to put this on pause. I'm enjoying going to trade shows and talking to women, you know, in the aisle more than I am. So I'm like, I really enjoy talking to other creative women. And so, you know, the story was I actually signed kind of a bad agent contract that sort of tied my hands for about a year in creating art and art licensing. And so I was like, well, I'm going to just, you know, start interviewing all these other women, see how everybody else is earning money off their creativity. Mm-hmm. Are they happy? How are they doing it? How do they balance home life? And so I started Smart Creative Women just out of straight curiosity. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, well, I better make some money.
Right. So,
and, you know, it was kind of a natural thing that I was doing anyway, because I like marketing. I like helping out artists. I belonged to some illustration groups and I was the main Monica Means advisor. So I was always bossy advice girl, often with people who didn't necessarily want bossy advice. So when you put it into a coaching format, it works out better because people are actually coming.
Exactly.
With a willing heart. So, and then I really, after coaching some friends, kind of, I started out by doing some coaching sessions for free and then really found what through the interviews and through coaching people one-on-one that there was some repeat themes going on of what people needed. And that's when I put some e-courses together and really kind of niched down what I talked to people about.
Mm-hmm. I love that because that's almost a similar journey of where I am. So that it just makes me feel like, yay, I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
So, you know, let me ask you this. You are a creative through and through, and I've seen it in your illustrations and it's amazing. How do you really figure out what you want to do? You know, like, how do you say to yourself, okay, I love to do this? And when is it that point where you're like, okay, I'm going to jump into this and do this?
Well, that's, you know, thanks for asking. That's kind of an interesting question because it is something I led myself through a couple years ago when I was, you know, interviewing lots of creative women, which was great. And there was a lot of momentum. People were listening. And I, you know, I was like, okay, I want to be creative now. It's time. I got over my little burnout. I took my sabbatical. and then what does that look like to me? What does creativity look like with me? And I went through this process of interesting things that people I think can do. And it was really slowing myself down, getting into that quiet place. I was walking around my house in my pajamas with my camera in my hand. I know that sounds weird, but it was this one sunny morning and I started taking snapshots of everything in my house I liked. And just on this odd whim to do this. And I downloaded it and I saw this theme pop up. And I really started asking myself, what are the themes that are going on in my life of stuff I really love? You know, I had cocktail bags that were vintage cocktail bags that I'd never put away. I was kind of using them as decoration. Mm-hmm. I have all my necklaces hung out as decoration. And those were the things that I was snapping pictures of. You know, I'd wander into my kitchen and wander back out. I wasn't taking pictures of that. And so I kind of started really digging deep and asking, you know, I've always loved fashion. What does that look like to me? I'm not a fashion designer. I had designed fabric collections when I was in art licensing, but it was for juvenile fabrics. And I'm like, no, I want to be a grown up. Mm-hmm. So that we even played a part in it. And then as I was kind of unearthing what was in, like, what books were on my bookshelf, what things was I buying over and over again, all those things helped unearth what my creativity would look like. Even those secret passions, like I've always loved fashion illustration. And I've always thought, you know, some people like, just everybody likes different art, which is so fascinating. So I developed that course, Smart Creative Style, as I was unearthing my own style. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing like doing it yourself and teaching other people right along. I do. But it really was it uncovered a lot for me. And that's when I launched the Exo Monica Lee, and I designed a line of, they're basically travel clutches. They are really smart little thing that puts your little electronics in them and it fits everything. And then you take it out to the bar and you put your strap on it later. So it was, when I was traveling, what I was missing, it was fashionable to take out on a date with my husband. It was quality, and it was kind of this unusual, it's a basic, but with a little twist. So it didn't happen overnight. I had to kind of spend some time getting to know myself to see what that looked like for me.
Right. I love that process. You know, I always wonder, because I sometimes try to figure out what are the things that I like to do. And have you ever had things or moments where you're like, okay, I've been doing this, you know, say, I don't know, coffee or, you know, whatever.
Well, I love coffee.
And I know I do too. You know, and maybe things that you think you like to do versus it's innately in you that you really like.
Yes.
You
know? Yes. Yes. I so think that's such a good point that you brought up, because I have been through it all. You know, when I was in designing fabrics, they were actually quilting cottons. And I was like, oh, the quilting cotton community, these people are nice. I mean, they're really lovely women. And I was going to these trade shows and I was trying to like morph this quilting cotton into dresses. I was coming up and looking for, and that's not a fabric that drapes. It's not, you know, and it was this me trying to fit. It, uh-huh. Because I like the creation of sewing and I liked wearing clothes, but I had to tell myself, but sewing clothes for myself in this quilting fabric, that wasn't for me. Right. I liked embroidery. I like these textures, but I had to kind of really get to the bottom of what about it. Mm-hmm. That I liked, because I was the type to throw myself into industries.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think that's like an action taker, right? That you're ready to just take action. And maybe, you know, that's me sometimes, because I'm just like, yeah, let's just get right into it. And then I have to kind of step back after and say, okay, wait, you know, what's the long term?
I just spent a lot of money on books that I don't really have an interest in. Exactly. Yeah. You know, but that actually was a clue, because I have a lot of sewing books, but they're on bags. I have every sewing handbag book ever made and all the Japanese ones too. And so then I was laughing as I go back and look at my bookshelf. There was something there. And here's a good exercise for you possibly and your listeners is a long time ago when I had felt like I had a lot of choices. I kind of cleaned my plate. I just started Smart Grid Women, but I was still asking myself, what is me? What is mm-hmm. still going to be Monica? And I took these index cards and I wrote down, actually, I don't think it's, I had Smart Grid Women was one of the cards. So it was right before I took 3 months off and did nothing. And that was a big deal for me. I'm not like that. And I took these index cards and I put them up in my studio and they were with that tape that you can move around a bunch. Mm-hmm. So, and I just stared at them and I walked by them. And again, in that quiet space in your mind when you're relaxed, you know, maybe in the evening or early in the morning, and I would rearrange them. And then all of a sudden I'd pull one off and I'd be like, I don't want to do that. Because I had people say, do you want to write a craft book? Right. And I'd be like, you know, no. And I would pull it off. And then the next day I'd rearrange what I thought was the most important. And then when something would fall to the bottom, I'd pull that off too. And so over like 2-3 weeks, I only had like one or two of my 6 or 8 index cards mm-hmm. left. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people take the time to listen to their spirits, actually.
Yes, I agree. And I love this process that we're talking about, because I kind of I'm at that cusp of the end, you know, where I just went through this whole process in the past 5 months. And it really took time to figure out, like you said, the things that I'm really innately in love with,
yes,
versus things that come to me easily. You know,
That's interesting you say that, because I always thought I was an artist just because it was the easiest class for me to get an A in, right? Mm-hmm. And so I always had this love-hate relationship with it. But I would say that the things that come easily to you and the thing that you're innately drawn to, mm-hmm. there's probably an overlap there, but you might not have unearthed what that overlap is, because I talk to people really well. That's an easy thing for me to do. But as an artist, I'm sitting at home alone.
Right.
So there, how is that overlap? What does that look like? And, you know, fortunately, social media, you know, is booming. So that works out for me, although that can be a little tiring too. But I think that there's ways to figure out what I understand what you're saying. There's some, like, I'm a pretty good cook, but I don't want to go, I get bummed out when I prepare a whole meal and it's eaten in 10 minutes.
Right.
So to me, that's a no. I'm not pursuing that path.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's great. Do you have any other ways how people can figure out? I know a lot of people use vision boards a lot.
You know, I call them maps, is what I did a long time ago. I wrote roadmaps, and it was like, where do I start here? I even would get poster board and draw a little house and draw a map and all the stops on the way and stuff. And then I tuck them away and kind of then come back and look at them. And so I found myself completing the things. Like, I thought I wanted to maybe teach children art, and within a couple months, somebody asked me to do that. And I did it once. I was like, oh, this is awful. So no, I don't want to. I love children, but no, I don't want to teach them art. So I do that. Mm-hmm. I actually developed that course, not to push the course, because it's actually very one-on-one now. I'm doing it one-on-one, where it's called Smart Creative Style, where you kind of take the time. And we use actually mood boards on Pinterest, because I think it can be very telling when you're not necessarily having to, especially I lead a lot of artists through it. And what happens is you then start judging your art. And so I'm letting people pin images that they didn't create, because I think there's some answers in what they choose, how they choose. When I went through it, I didn't quite realize, like, as far as home styles, that my home style actually was old Hollywood Regency, because I watched so many old 1950s movies. And I didn't even realize this until I went through this process and I found myself pinning these old movie sets.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So there was a glamour. That sense of glamour appeals to me. And so I can ask myself, how do I incorporate that? How do I incorporate that into my business? What is glamour to me? Mm-hmm. Might be something very different than what you would think glamour is to you. And I think that's an exciting thing to discover. I think it's actually a really important thing to discover as we do businesses online, because visually, everything we're doing now is so visual, between Facebook posts and Instagrams and Twit pics and all that, that I think you have to bring yourself to the table in your voice, visually, and in your copy more than ever. And it's just so easy to lean into what other people are doing or what's successful. And I think you're going to be drawn to certain people, but then you have to stop and go, now, what does that mean to me? Why am I drawn to this person? And how do I show up in my unique way?
Exactly. I think that's so true. And yeah, I mean, you know, because I just love it. I feel like we're kindred spirits, because that's exactly what I do. So I do mind maps, you know, and I literally take that big easel paper and I will sit down and I will just I'll literally dump all my thoughts onto it. And I'm like, okay, if this is what I want to do, even the remotest connection to my idea, I'll put it on it. And then I kind of figure out how it all falls into place. And obviously it doesn't take a day, you know, it takes time. And it's amazing, because I love it. It's like that exhilarating feeling you get when you figure out what you want to do.
Well, you know, and the funny thing is, I think, like, so when you figure out what you want to do, then you've got to execute it. Yeah. Then
exactly.
You've got to, like, stand behind it. When, you know, as I went through this, the people that follow me on Smart Creative Women know that when I was decided, oh, I'm just going to make these leather clutches. They're going to be nice, soft, buttery leather, stripe piecing. I could not believe how hard it was to manufacture a product from scratch. It was just daunting. And I questioned myself again and again and again, because I was laying out big money, but also just the things, finding a manufacturer in the States, and was really hard. So I ended up really having to ask myself, how much are you standing behind your ideas? And for as much as I am a confident person, the process was riddled with insecurity. So even when you figure that out, you've actually, it just becomes the next step challenges you more.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So true. So true.
You know, because in your mind's eye, and I think I oddly, you know, I was really good at the whole mood board, lay it all out, what's mm-hmm. the look and everything. But then, you know, all of a sudden when you're like searching for zippers, it becomes a whole different game. You got to have some tenacity.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And how do you deal with, I don't want to say really, I mean, how do you deal with a situation where you've uncovered that that's maybe not the right path you're going down?
Well, you know, I think you got to let yourself off the hook a little bit.
Yes.
You know, I think that if you listen to, I think I saw on Fortune magazine this one quote, this guy said, you know, you only have to get it right once. And there's so many people and businessmen and women and that have had multiple businesses before Absolutely. They really hit something that took off. Now, the difference between that is like a little kid who picks up a toy, looks at it, throws it down on the ground and goes on to the next toy when mm-hmm. they'd never gave that first toy a chance. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm just speaking of myself here because in our internet fast pace and the way Americans unfortunately think about instant success, mm-hmm. it's not the reality of really how good, strong businesses are built yeah. or the creative process in general. Sometimes, you know, it takes a long time to discover your style and you unearth everything. And we like those stories so much that say, I started in 2006 and in 2007, I was making, you know, mm-hmm. 500,000. Then I went to a million, you know, we're like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. But,
right.
you know, that's that's not the reality of
exactly.
Yeah. So sometimes you just have to stick with something you think you don't like anymore. Mm-hmm. And then other times you have to morph it into something you do like.
Yes, I completely agree. And, you know, I think that's so true because every person I have read about or talked to who's successful or, you know, it's not a one-hit wonder. You know, it's not like, oh, okay, this was the first time I ever tried anything and this was like $1 million business. It's never been. I think it's always everybody has gone through their fair share of challenges. And like everybody says, right, there's no overnight success at all. So,
you know, absolutely. It is kind of interesting to watch young kids come, like, as I interview a lot of younger women, I find uh-huh. it kind of fascinating, you know, because I feel like, you know, every generation comes out with less and less rules of how they should be acting or how what they should think they should be doing. And I think that there's so much, each generation gets freer to experiment uh-huh. and try things on their own. And I think that that freedom is having a lot of these younger women seemingly succeed, you know, then you coach them a little bit and now they're having a baby and now things are like, oh crap, right?
Yes.
You know, so I usually like, just slow down. You're having a baby. Don't make any decisions right now. But I think that there's freedom when you take off preconceived notions of what you think you should be doing. My house should look this way. I should mm-hmm. look this way. You know, there's just so many, it's such a big list for women, mm-hmm. you know, on the bottom of it is, and I have to be skinny, crap. Mm-hmm. You know, it just is so much that we have to drop some of those things and kind of prioritize what actually is success for us.
Right. I absolutely love that. Awesome. Tell us about EXO Monica Lee.
Yay! You know what? It's my little creative expression over there. I wanted, you know, the whole thing when you're going out with your husband and you don't have the right clutch and you don't want to spend, you know, a gazillion dollars on the clutches you've seen on Pinterest and then you start your own company and spend a gazillion dollars developing. But how does that work? Wait, right. I bought that clutch on Pinterest. But, you know, and also it just, the idea of my love for fashion and what does that mean to me? And I, you know, did it out of different materials. And then I'm like, you know, I'm an older woman. I don't want anything. Somewhat older. I don't want anything I create to really end up on a garage sale mm-hmm. table. Mm-hmm. So as I introduce more products and stuff, you know, I just had to do stuff that's fun, stuff mm-hmm. that I would carry, stuff that I would put in my house. And I know that probably doesn't sound like I've done those customer profile things mm-hmm. and I've tried so hard to be cool and all I really want to do is be fun. It just always comes right. back to I'm not cool. I just want to have a good time. So it's just a lifestyle brand. accessories is I can keep adding them. And I have t-shirts. I'm actually going to do prints now because my illustrations, I did the illustrations really to promote the brand. And then the illustrations have been going so well that I just I think I'm just going to add them now as prints.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, congratulations.
Well, thanks.
And we really wish you a lot of success because I think I looked at them and they're very hip and very neat. And I would totally wear it. I think it's very nice.
Yay.
Yes.
Yay. I have it's so funny because I have the talk about mood boards and the master plan. You know, I have the master plan for the petite clutch. And then when you go to Paris, you've got to have this thing. And then when you go here, you need this thing. And that came from all the years of flying. And it's daunting try to execute all that because I want to rush to this is what your whole trip needs.
Right.
But so I've had to throttle back and go, okay, Monica, one product at a time. You know, you're not venture capital funded yet.
Right. Maybe soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Awesome. And are you ready now for a lightning round?
Oh, yes.
Great. So, Monica, what trophy would you want on your mantle?
Oh, trophy. Jeez, I guess. Well, that's a tricky one. Probably a Celine handbag.
Ooh, nice. And what is your guilty pleasure?
I don't know if it's a guilty pleasure, but I'm really into dining outside, plein air dining. I think my years of travel in Europe, Europeans eat outside. And I live in New England. I get so bummed that we're inside so much of the year. Uh-huh. So any chance when they say, do you want to sit inside or outside? I'm always like, outside.
Oh, nice. And what are you currently reading?
Oh, I'm reading that book, The Art of Tidying Up, The Mastering Tidying Up. Oh. It's killing me, man.
Yeah. Is it good?
That girl's a psycho, but I love her, but she is like, she's actually very smart. And I'm sure when I do it, my life is going to change, but I'm so into it. I'm just about to drink the Kool-Aid, but I haven't quite because I got to get rid of stuff. It's an interesting book, but while she went into her brother's sister's rooms and started tidying and throwing all their stuff away, I'm like, sister would have killed me.
Interesting. And what is your one productivity tip?
You know, I think it's really, I stop in the evenings and I don't answer emails on weekends, that's a real creative time for me. Even if I'm working on the weekends, it's really something off business kind of. That's my creative time. And I'm not a girl that works until midnight. I had too many years as an international flight attendant without sleep. And I can honestly say it takes a toll on your body. It's a very unhealthy thing to do. So, you know, I'm done at 6:30.
Nice. And what is your personal motto?
My personal motto, it's not fun. Why are you doing it now? Yes, that's probably it. I think actually the other part of that would be you're meant to flourish. I really believe it. You know, sometimes when we slog around, it's, you know, really pick yourself up and find things around you and get people in place to encourage you, get things to, that really motivate you and stay inspired and encouraged. Because I really think that we were all meant to shine bright and to flourish in our lives.
I love that. And what would you do differently if you were given another chance?
Well, I am on my second marriage, but no. but you know, no, I wouldn't even say that. don't marry a man who can fit into your jeans. That's bad. I think actually, I wish I would have flown internationally probably. And right at the beginning, I spent a long time at American Airlines and I spent a lot of layovers in Canton, Akron, Ohio. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But when I started flying to Paris, it was a lot better.
Sure. Wonderful. Awesome. Thank you so much, Monica. I had a really wonderful time and I'll be following you. Tell us where people can find you.
Oh, so many places at smartcreativewomen.com and at xomonicalee.com.
Well, thank you so much. And really, I mean, I think I really wish you all the very best and I love your art.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So that, my friends, was Monica Lee. Be sure to link up with her on social media. All of her links are on the show notes page at www.womenpreneursuccess.com/39. You can link up with me on Facebook at Smita Singh and Womenpreneur Success. And don't forget to go to our website at www.womanpreneursuccess.com. Get our free Womanpreneur Success 7-Day Jumpstart Kit. It'll really help you if you are trying to get unstuck or just starting out. And once again, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And I am so grateful that you are listening to these podcasts. And thank you so much. I am truly, truly appreciative. And thank you so much for letting me hang out in your earbuds. Ciao.
This concludes another episode of Womanpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womanpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.